Some of this will be a bit repetitious, but I think before the sermon is over, you will find that enough of it is new that it is worth our while to discuss tonight the one world system. I was listening to the news last night as I drove home late at night. It must have been, after 11. I've been working at the office until a little after 11. I turned on the news and I was thinking about something else and also listening to the news. And I didn't get all of it, but I got enough to know this. They told about a convention that's been held, I think, in Philadelphia. Am I right about this convention of, you know what it is yet, do you? Okay. Anyway, it's somewhere in the East, of many of the minority groups. I will call the ones I know I heard, and there are others I'm sure that you could add. But there's a convention of Black Panthers, those in the Women's Liberation Movement, political revolutionaries, and homosexuals meeting to organize for unity and power in a convention. Now, was that Philadelphia? Who knows? It was Philadelphia. There are other groups also. Different groups, like the Black Panthers, those who are for the woman's liberation movement, the political revolutionaries, and the homosexuals, all meeting to try to unite their forces for revolution in America. Now, what would these organizations have in common? The Woman's Liberation Movement and the Black Panthers. For in the feminine gender, there are also some White Panthers. I mean, there are some Taras that aren't black who are ladies too, you know. That's funny. Thank you. Good. All right. Wonderful. Thank God for the choir. They can't sing, but they laugh well. And what could these folks have in common? What could the homosexuals have in common with the political revolutionaries? All these groups have one great common denominator. And that is, in every case, each group is trying to homogenize America. Each group is trying to make is a part of a great system, to make a one world system in some respect. For example, the females in the Women's Liberation League, and as far as I'm concerned, not a single lady in the whole movement, not a one. You can quote me on that, and if you're in the group, then I don't think you're a lady. I think you're a benighted witch. Now, if being subtle won't explain how I feel, I'll be blunt. I think you're an idiot. But they are trying to make one sex. And every portion, every group that met is a different part of a great puzzle they're trying to put together, and will put together, by the way, to make a one world system. Now, our people know this is nothing new. Back in the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis, a fella was grown up whose name was Nimrod. Nimrod was a great leader. He was married. He and his wife were deified. The people worshiped Nimrod and his wife as gods. Mrs. Nimrod became pregnant, and while she was carrying the baby, Nimrod died suddenly. She brought the baby, but between the time of Nimrod's death and the time of the delivery of the child, Mrs. Nimrod and others taught that the baby was Nimrod reincarnate. And so when the baby was born, the baby was deified also as Nimrod reincarnate. So we have the deified man, father. We have the deified mother. We have the deified son, or the deified baby. Don't you see what it is? There is the mother of God, in Nimrod's wife, there is the Christ child in the arms of the Mother of God, and then there's the Father. Now, the great religion of a woman being the Mother of God did not start with our Catholic friends. It started thousands of years ago in Genesis chapter 10 with Nimrod, his wife, and her baby. Nimrod led in building a city. That city had as its goal the building of a tower whose top would reach unto heaven. And Nimrod, this powerful figure, the most powerful figure the world had known up until that time, for its 1,500 years of existence, Nimrod led the people in building a one-world system, the like of which the world has not seen, but will see again in the end time. For his kingdom was called Babel. And the same word Babel is found at the end of the Bible. It's found in the first of the Bible, in Genesis chapters 10 and 11, where you have a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world language, a one-world race, and so forth. And at the end of the Bible, in Genesis Revelation chapters 17 and 18, you find the destruction of this same system. It is not unique. This system is not unique to our generation, but it will be destroyed in the end time. One of the main reasons why I know that our Lord's coming is soon is because we see before our eyes tonight Babel being rebuilt. Every facet of the confused system of Babel built under Nimrod is being advocated and built tonight in our society. We are going headlong downhill toward the one world system that will come together once again in the end time under a 20th century Nimrod and will be destroyed by God and cast into hell. Now I want to call your attention tonight the obvious signs of this one world system. In the first place, there is the one world religion. Now I'll not labor on many of these because we've dwelt on them before. But there is the one world religion. Nimrod got all the people of the earth together, and he built a one world religion with a city as its headquarters, with a tower whose top would reach to heaven, and united all the religions of the world. Now, in the end time, the Bible says that the religions of this world will once again be united. I don't mean God's born again people. I mean the religious systems of this world. Our brother a while ago told us about the Muslims in Uganda and the Catholic system and the government church of Uganda and so forth. Now, the day is going to come when every false religion in this world will be united in a one world religion. Listen to me. Listen to me. Why? The Bible speaks in Revelation chapter 13 about a false prophet, a great leader, a religious leader who's going to rise. And he would unite the religions of this world. I have no doubt in my mind, no doubt in this world, but that there will become a day soon when the Protestants will go back to the Catholics once again. They're going that way as fast as they can go now. You see, in the Reformation age, there was the withdrawal of the Protestant group from Catholicism. Then that Protestant group has divided into many other groups. You see, Protestants came from Catholicism, and then Protestants divided. You have Methodists, you have Presbyterians, you have Reformed, and other churches, denominations that came from the Protestants. By the way, let me say this. Baptists were never a part of Roman Catholicism. Never. Never, never, never. Those who believe the Bible as we believe it, with church polity and church government and baptism as we believe it, were never a part of the Roman Catholic hierarchy. Therefore, Baptists are not Protestants. Now, if you want to call us Protestants, you may, and I won't get mad at you if you mean Jew, Catholic, Protestant. But you're looking at a fellow whose ancestors in the ministry go back to the Jordan River and John the Baptist. You see? Now, I'm not saying that John the Baptist was a Baptist. I'm just saying he believed like we believe. You see? And if he were alive today, I'm sure he'd move to Hammond and join the First Baptist Church. And I know he wouldn't sprinkle. I know he wouldn't. Let me tell you something. Could I be a little bit? Could I get criticized again? Could I just be a little frank? I'm going to be anyway, but could I be? I love the Presbyterians. Really, I do. I wish they'd get back to the Bible, this modern crowd, just like the modern Baptists ought to get back to the Bible, modern Methodists too. But John Calvin, God bless him. I think that Presbyterians in history have done about as much to bless this world as any other denomination. I said in history. But did you know if you look very carefully, you'll find some things in the Presbyterian churches that look like Roman Catholicism? They sprinkle. So do Catholics. They have an Episcopalian form of church government. So do Catholics. They have denominational control. So do Catholics. They dedicate and sprinkle babies. So do Catholics. Now, though I'm for Presbyterians who believe the Bible, do you notice how in some respects they favor the Catholic Church? You know why? Because they're children of the Catholic Church. I'm going to make everybody mad at me tonight if I succeed. But they're children. Now, don't misunderstand me. Thank God they came out of her. And by the way, everybody ought to come out of their own Catholic hierarchy. But the Presbyterians, the reason they favor the Catholic Church is because she's her mother. You see, and though you can't always say that a child looks exactly like its parent or its mother, you will see some features, you see. For example, Brother Cal's boy has big feet and big ears and so forth, and like his dad. Now, the Presbyterians, they favor. Why? They're Protestant. Let's take the Reformed people. God bless them. Good people. I think some of the finest folks in this area are people who belong to Reformed churches and Christian Reformed churches. The Dutch people out in Munster and Lansing and Highland and other places are delightful people, and I love to trade with them. They're honest people in general, and I thank God for them. But if you notice very carefully, you'll find in the Reformed churches some things like the Catholic churches. What? Ritualistic service. What else? Sprinkling baby. What else? High church ritual. You see? Why? Because they look like the mother in some respect. They got mad at the mother and left home. But just because you get mad and leave home doesn't mean you don't favor the old lady anymore, you see. And so they still favor her. Why? They're Protestants. They favor the mother. Let's take the Methodists. They sprinkle babies. Why? Because the mother sprinkled babies. Now, John Wesley and a few others had enough sense to leave home and leave the mother, but they still favor the mother. And by the way, the modern brand of Methodists favor the mother a heap more than John Wesley's brand did. And the modern-day Presbyterians favor the mother more than the John Calvin's group did. And the modern-day Lutherans favor the mother more than Martin Luther did when Martin Luther said, "I once thought that the Pope was the vicar of Christ. Now I think he's the vicar of hell." Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that all these denominations came out of her. But blessed be God all the time, all the way back to the book of Acts. There was that faithful New Testament group of Christian people met together to preach the gospel, to baptize by immersion, to preach salvation by grace with independent form of church government where the church operated its own business, autonomous, indigenous, independent. That's good. Indigenous, autonomous. But anyway, these churches, I read that in the book one time. I don't know what it means, but it sure looked good. And these autonomous, indigenous, independent churches that preach the gospel, listen, they were having church and getting people saved and having revivals and baptizing converts before the Reformation ever started and during the Reformation and after the Reformation. You see, there always has been churches like this. We didn't come from Roman Catholicism. There's nothing the old mother of harlots would rather have us believe than that once there was just one great church. That's a dirty lie out of hell. There always has been, since our Lord came and established the church, there always has been people who fought the hierarchy, that a pope could speak ex cathedra, that the church held the Bible in its hand, that the church had more authority than the Bible does. There always has been some old-fashioned, fundamental, God-fearing, Christ-honoring, soul-winning, Bible-preaching churches around this old world that have stood for the Bible. And so Baptist people do not come from the Protestant movement. We never were a part of Roman Catholicism, but follow me. These churches are getting more. You know, when you get older, when you get about 14 or 15 years old, you don't care much for mama, do you? And you want to run off from home. But you know, you get a little older, mama, you sort of like mama a little better. You know why? Because you get more like mama yourself. You get some kids of your own, and you know how it is to have an unruly kid. When the Methodist grew up and had a baby, and they called the baby Nazarenes, and the Methodists started having as much trouble with their kid as they used to give the Catholic mama, then the Methodists decided that mama wasn't as bad as they thought she was, and Methodists today are more like their mama than they are their kids. Now, the tragic thing is, I'm afraid Nazarenes are getting a little bit like the mama, too. You see? And so as they get older, the Methodists, they gave birth to the holiest groups. The Pentecostals, the Assembly of God, the Church of God, came from the Methodist mother, you see. And so what's happening is this. These children that came out of the old mother of harlots, and by the way, let me just say this, just for chance as a visitor here that doesn't like the way I preach, may I just dedicate this to you? Let it be known from this pulpit, everywhere people go, that this preacher is totally opposed to the hierarchy of Rome. Totally opposed. There is not one thing in this church that will remind you of the All Saints Church across the street if you go visit. And if there is, let me know and we'll change it. Why? I already know why. She's not our mother. The old mother of harlots never gave birth to a Baptist church. The old mother of harlots never gave birth to a Bible-preaching church that immerses and preaches grace and has independent government. Never did. Every single one of the mother's children have Episcopalian form of government. By that I mean denominational control of the churches, denominational ordination of preachers. Every single one of her children. Now, I preach for a lot of her children, by the way. And I preach in their conventions for a lot of the children of the mother of harlots. But every single case. Now, they're good kids. I like them. I'm glad they're not any more like their mother than they are. But in every case, they resemble the old lady in some way. You see. Now, I've spent too much time on that. But I saw a few of you I thought needed just a little emphasis and a little underlining. I won't go into that. But I'll probably go later. But now, what am I saying? I'm saying that these children are going back to the mother as fast as they can go. There will become a day, again, when the Protestants will go back into the mother and they'll have a great family reunion and the churches of this world will be united in the one world church. As you see, the union of the churches. By the way, two of the kids just got back together not long ago. What kids? Now, by the way, they may be good kids. No, I don't think they are. The United Methodist Church and United Brethren just got together. What are the kids doing? Well, they're getting together so they can travel back home on the same boat. But first, you see, they'll come back together until you have one great Protestant church. And then when you have one great Protestant church with one great Protestant leader, then that leader and the Pope can get together and you can have the old brother of harlots with all the kids back again. You say, well, the house, it so happens I'm a Presbyterian. Well, let me say this. You're going to answer to God for every day you spend in a church that belongs to the National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches, which is nothing more than a revival of Nimrodism, making a one-world church. If I don't like that, then lump it. I don't like it either. I don't like the way you're preaching. I don't like the way you're living. We don't like each other, do we? I get a little weary sometimes. Folks think of the preacher as the only fellow that can be disliked. Lady came out long ago. She said, I just don't like you. And I said, you're not my favorite person either. I was out in a certain place here in this area, and I was meeting with a bunch of folks that didn't care much about me. And one little gal, I think I told you about her, she had on a long blouse. That's all she had on. So she got mad, and she started wiggling. Oh, she got mad at me, and she said, well, in all of my life, I've never seen anybody quite like you. And I said, honey, where I come from, your type is mighty scarce, too. You better thank God that somebody got enough courage to stand up and tell you about the mother of harlots and the end-time church that's going to someday be a part of the one-world system. And you hear heed the call of God in Revelation when he says, come out from among her and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The one-world religion. But there's also another one-world part of the one-world system, and that is the one party. The one party. If you there was a day in America when you said Republican, it did not mean the same thing as if you said Democrat. Did you know that, boys? Did you know that the fact that our parties are homogenized is a part of pointing to the end time before our Lord returns? You say, what do you mean? Say what I mean. You can put Senator Percy and Senator Kennedy both in a bag. Now, there's a good start. Put them both in a bag, shake them up, and take your pick. There's not that much difference in their ideologies and philosophies. One's Republican, one's a Democrat. Why? Because the one-party system is pointing toward the end of the age. You take Governor Rockefeller and Senator Humphrey. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat. Blindfold yourself and let somebody else read their speeches, and you won't know which speech belongs to which man. You take ex-Governor Stratton of Pennsylvania and Senator Muskie, and you take their philosophies and their ideologies, and you will find that they're actually of the same persuasion. What did I say? I'm saying that we have basically a one-party system in this country. Though some are called Republicans and some are called Democrats, the truth is we basically have a one-party system. Why? Because the Republicans have become like the Democrats. Why? So they can be in favor with the people, majority. A one-party system. Pointing to the one-world system. Number three. The one world government. The one world government. The Bible speaks in Revelation chapter 13 about a man who's going to come and unite, I think, Europe and the Western nations, and one day we'll have a one world government. It is no surprise to see United Nations, and by the way, I personally have no doubt in my mind, but that one of the darkest days in American history was the day that we decided to be a part of the United Nations. United Nations, the term United Nations has become like Christmas and motherhood and peace. We just say it's good because it's got the word united in it. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know tonight there are more nations in the United Nations that are far seating Red China than there are nations against seating Red China? Do you know tonight that the pendulum of power has swung toward the acceptance of Red China in the place of nationalist China in the United Nations? Did you know we subscribe ourselves to be loyal to an institution that is godless and built by godless nations? You know that doesn't please God Almighty? But what's happening is this. We are plunging headlong toward a world system of a one world government. And that one world government will be headed up by the Antichrist, the man of sin, and we ought to be very careful in our election and our voting that we vote for people that are for de-emphasis of centralized power rather than for centralized power. Now, let me say this. There's more to my being for, and I'll just jump right into politics. Because, brother, if we don't, our country's gone. I don't believe in discussing politics nor religion. That's because you don't know nothing about none of them. But I believe in discussing both of them, and do. And by the way, you check the Bible prophets in the Old Testament, you'll find the men of God, they did discuss politics, and they gave exhortations and warnings to rulers and kings, and they spent much of their time warning the politicians. But be it as it may, did you know? Now, what was I going to say? One world government. I've got to warn you about something. I like that fellow said, now, and the last thing I want to say is the most important thing I want to say, and I forgot what I want to say. But anyway, I'll get back. I'll go back and go down the road a bit, and I'll catch up after a while and figure out what I was going to say. But to say the least, the one world government is a part of the end time. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The one world government is a part of the great end time. Be careful. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Here I am. You know why I'm for Barry Goldwater? And I am. You know why I am? Not because he
fights a few things I'm against. So he does. I'm for Barry Goldwater because of his philosophy of decentralization of power. I'm for Agnew. 100% for Agnew. Why? Because he uses big words? Well, of course not. Why? Because he gets on the hippies? Well, that doesn't hurt any. But that's not the main reason I'm for him. I'm for Agnew because he is for decentralization of authority. You see? That's why I'm for states' rights of nations. That's why, though I may not agree with Governor Wallace in Alabama on the integration problem, I do agree it's their business to run their own schools. You see? Now, I'm not saying... Here's a state that says we're going to integrate. Okay, that's their business. Here's a state that says we're going to segregate. Okay, that's their business. I'm saying it's not Illinois' business how Indiana runs her schools. And it's not Texas' business how California runs her schools. I'm not talking about integration. Somebody, some nut, some idiot, some moron, some fool, some person wanted to distort the truth will leave and say, I'm a racist. If you do, you're a liar. I'm not a racist. I'm just for old-fashioned states' rights, independent local churches, independent governments and cities. I'm for the freedom of the individual and not for the building of a great superstructure in Washington, D.C., where we send all of our money, and because we send all of our money there, they send their money back to us, our money back to us, if we do what they say do. That's one reason why, as long as I'm the superintendent of Hammond Baptist High School, not one dime of government money, whether it be city, state, or federal government money, will come to run our school, because they're not going to run our school. And by the way, I want to stop and say this too. And this is by way of principle. I want to say this to all of our students in our school. Listen to me carefully. We're not going to have any petitions in our school about anything. Now, I haven't said this, but I'm going to warn you. If I have any authority over our board of deacons, if we fire somebody in our school, if we fire a teacher or anybody, and somebody decides they're going to get a petition up because they don't like it, the next person I'm voting on to fire is the person that started the petition. The students are not going to run Hammond Baptist High School. Not going to do it. Just make up your mind, no petition is going to circulate in that school, and if I get a hold of it, and get the names on it, I will lead myself a campaign to see to it that the people that started it are expelled from school. Now, if the faculty wants to do something, they can discuss with Dr. Billings what they want. If Dr. Billings wants something, he can discuss with me, and if I want something, I'll discuss with the board. But the students are not going to run the school. Now, enough of that. You understand that, don't you? Shake your heads if you do. Shake your heads if you do. All right. Now then. You're going to have to start when the pimple first starts. You don't wait out yonder until they got Dr. Billings captured in his office. And he's telling, help, 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 I'm too little to fight. That's not the time to do it. Now I want to make it clear. If the board of our school meets and decides tomorrow to fire Miss Stevens, teaching, and we're not about to do it, it'll be more like day after tomorrow. But if we do, there'll be no petitions circulated in the school about it. None. Now, one of the things that's destroying our country is the one-world political system. The more and more power Washington gets, the more we're plunging toward the one-world system and preparing ourselves for the coming of the Antichrist. Number four, hang on to your seats. One race. One race. There's nothing that... Now, all you got to do is just say those two words anymore and somebody says he's a racist. There's nothing that irritates me anymore than for a fellow to say he's not for the intermarriage of the races. And I'm not. And I'm not a racist. I'm not. I think that God did not intend for the Jews to marry other nations. I think God did not intend for the Negroes to marry other people. I think God did not intend for the white man to marry out of his own group. I'll go a step further. I could wish, and I think God originally would have been better, more pleased, if the Frenchman had married French women. And the German had married German women. But I do not think it is good for society or the health of our offsprings for the racist to intermarry. And I'm not a bigot, and I'm not a racist. And if you try to make me a racist, you are a liar of all liars, and you just simply don't have enough reasoning to understand good basic logic. I'm not. The truth is, I love a black man as much as I love a white man. And the truth is, I probably have more respect for the old-fashioned black folks in America than I do this modern crowd of white folks. And certainly, I'm for the Jews. I love the Jewish race, and I think they're God's chosen people. And one reason I don't want the Jews to marry my daughters is because I don't want the Jews to marry us heathen, you see. But what's happening is this. Over here, you have a group of church... Pick up the Average Life magazine, Time magazine, or Newsweek magazine, or U.S. News and World Report, and you'll find some nut talking about a union of churches, and some other nut talking about a union of nations, and some other nut talking about a union of races. One worldism, destroying our country, destroying our world. One world race. Now, I'm not for hate, and I think the white man has done wrongly toward the Negro. And it doesn't bother me at all. If a Negro need to set, in fact, I'll be honest with you, I'd 10,000 times rather set by the Negroes that I know than to set by a hippie on an airplane. Now, does that make myself clear? Now, by the way, I wouldn't want to set by a fellow who stinks, whether he's white or black or chartreuse or maroon. To me, people are people as far as loving them and witnessing to them and caring for them. And I think the white man in America is going to answer to God for the way he's treated the Negro. But here's what's happened. They get this thing about giving the Negro and giving the Jew and giving the races, the minority groups, their proper place, and that's okay. Then before you know it, the races are intermarrying. Now, if you'll check the Word of God, you'll find that God punished His people for marrying other nations. He punished the Jews more for marrying outside their own race than any other single thing they ever did. What is it? Over here you have a group saying, one world government, one world police force, United Nations. Over here you have a group saying, unite the churches. Over here you have a group saying, unite the races, one world race. By the way, let's go a step further, number five, and that is the one world sex. The one world sex. I stood behind this pulpit before the Women's Liberation Union ever came into effect, and I predicted that they would be the next group, didn't I? How many heard me say it? Of course. I predicted that before many years passed, that the women would talk about their rights. What is it? One world sex. Women's liberation. Homosexuals also attended this meeting. Homosexuals. The one sex. Somebody gave me an article the other day, flipping out of a newspaper, that told about some plays in California. And by the way, these are not unique to California either. This is going on all across America. Did you know that there are plays going on in America right now in which they actually commit the sex act before the audience? Yes. Over here at the Andrean High School several years ago, some players came and they presented a play and showed somebody the nude. And I spoke up about it and against it and warned people, listen, when you start showing the nude body in mixed crowds, you have nothing else left but sooner or later to start showing sex acts, because this mad crowd that's demented is plunging down, and the farther down they go, the faster they'll go. But at the end of these plays, you know what they're doing? They're allowing the people to come up on the platform and commit altogether any kind of sex act you want to commit on the platform. Some of these policemen trying to catch me going 35 miles an hour in 30 mile zone would do well to go down and arrest some of those people. Some of these policemen, a little worried at Hammond because we blocked the street off out of the other day. They ought to be thanking God a fundamental church blocks the street off. They better get busy and arresting some of these folks. Listen. I have in my files a statement written by the revolutionaries that they have it in their goal by 1974 to have sex acts committed on the sidewalks in our cities. You wait. You just wait. And I'll tell you something else, too. If our Lord tarries, and if Dr. Billings will stay, the day will come when the largest high school in this area will be Hammond Baptist High School. No other way. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the one sex, the homosexuality, the freedom and promiscuous sex by stranger, husband and wife swapping, parties where you go and just trade from one to the other. The one sex movement is gripping this nation. I was on an airplane reading a magazine that was supposed to be a decent magazine, if there is such thing. And I read about some people who went to a play or some kind, where all the people that wanted to would just take their clothes off and just go around in the nude. Now, that's going on. I mean, it's going on right here in this area. This is not all in California. Just run around in the nude. I'll just say this now, going to the next point. One of the rottenest things that hell ever gave to this country is a sensitivity training program. That's where it leads. Take off everything. All the inhibitions, take off. One sex. One race. One party. One religion. Hold on to your seats. One language. One language. Did you ever stop to think about the millions of dollars spent each year on interpreters and linguists at the United Nations alone? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that God prophesied that Babel would come again, Nimrod would come again, one world church come again, one world race come again, one world government come again? But there's something else they had at Nimrod that hasn't come yet, but it's going to come, and that is the one world language. Now listen carefully. How many of you have heard about Esperanto? Esperanto. Thank you. Some of you have. In 1887... a man named Zamenhof invented what is called the Esperanto language. It is being promoted as a one world language so that all the nations of this world can speak just the one language. Esperanto can be learned in 1/4 the amount of time that you could learn any other language. It has only 16 rules of grammar and pronunciation, with no irregularities or exceptions whatsoever. It is being promoted now as a one world language to cross the language barriers. Say, sounds like Nimrod's about here, doesn't it? We have the one world church. That's what the Nimrod had. We have the one world government. That's what Nimrod had. We have the one world race. That's what Nimrod had. And now we're tinkering with a one-world language. Ladies and gentlemen, our Lord is about to come. It won't be long until this modern Babylon, Nimrod, starting Genesis 10, destroyed in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, Babylon is about built. But there's something else. There is the one-world number. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, we have the story of the mark of the beast. It says that no man can buy or sell unless he has on his forehead and in his hand the mark, the number. Do you know we're not very far away from each of us having a number, a universal number? Here's what you do, you folks who live in Indiana. Sometime look at your Social Security card and your driver's license. And you will find out they're exactly the same. How many knew that? How many, to be honest, did not know that? Many of you did. You'll find they're exactly the same. Your number, they've got your number. Yeah. Several years ago, the credit card system came out. And we wore billfolds that stuck our suit out 18 inches, give or take a little bit, full of credit cards. But now then, you have what? A charge all card. A Bank America card. One card that'll cover it all. Now, it's coming, ladies and gentlemen, when every person in this country will have a credit card and he'll buy by credit card. No man can buy or sell save he has the mark. The day is going to come when every person in this world will be numbered. You will have a number. By the way, I never cease to be amazed. I can go to a hair field, and I can say to the lady there, can you get me on flight 141 to San Francisco? She will type on a typewriter. That typewriter feeds or asks a question from some smart machine. And without anybody typing back, within 15 seconds after she typed, that machine has sent her the answer back. I saw a cartoon the other day. Here was an executive talking to a bunch of machines, a bunch of commuters. Commuters? Computers. That's one advantage about hiring a machine. A computer is not a commuter, and it gets you off the expressways. But anyway, executive was talking to all these machines, and he said, "Now, fellas, I know who gets the glory. I go up and down this country getting the credit for all that's done here, but it's really you guys on the home front that deserve the credit." Talking to the machine. It's amazing. You are going to be a number. By the way, do you know that that number will be on your forehead or in your hand? Oh, yes, it will. And the Bible says it will. The fact that the Social Security number, check your Social Security card, check your driver's license, one number. Now, when they transfer that to something else and something else and something else, before you know it, you'll have a credit card. Now, you know, nowadays you have a little card, like credit card, for voting registration, as you know. It's coming. What is it? The end time. Now, wait a minute. One last thing. One religion, one party, one government, one race, one sex, one language, one number, and then one law. What is that one law? It is the law of the individual. Each man does that which is right in his own eyes. We have made each man intellectual. We tried to. We have sent, now listen carefully, we have sent our young people off to schools that were built to train leaders. We have sent the followers off to the schools built to train leaders. Now, what we've done is this. We have given the leadership information to the followers as well as the leader. So now the follower knows the same thing the leader knows. Until people with not enough wisdom are gifts to the leaders, are educated in the same sense that the leaders are. And that means that they do not want to follow. They do not want to follow. One of the saddest things that's ever happened to America is the deification of the public school system, and especially our colleges and universities. No, every child should not go away to college. No, every child should not get a college degree. Some young people ought to work at Inland Steel. And some young men ought to go in the honorable profession of being a plumber. And some young men ought to go in the honorable profession of being a carpenter. And some young men ought to go in the honorable profession of being a barber, though it's almost antiquated. But I'll tell you what, boy, if we ever do go back to haircuts, you're going to have a Russian business. Some young men ought to be electricians. Some young men ought to be garbage collectors. Some young men ought to be steel mill or factory workers and work at automobile factories and so forth. No, everybody should not go to college. What we have done, we've taken followers and sent them off to schools and trained them to be leaders. And now we have a nation of people that each man wants to run something and there's not enough folks to run. Let me say this. A lot of you folks don't like it when I say to some young mini-skirted whippersnapper, decides she doesn't like the sermon, decides she wants to walk out, and I stop her and she turns around and faces the other way and bothers the folks behind her. I said, turn around there! You don't like it. But in spite of the fact whether you like it or not, it's the only hope for this nation. We've got to train some folks to be followers. Look, 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 look! You know why we don't arrest all the people that smoke marijuana? We don't have as many policemen as we have marijuana smokers. That's why. This crowd out here in California that committed all these sex acts up on the stage after a play where the act was committed before the entire crowd. They said, aren't you afraid you'll get arrested? And they said, no, we're not, because we know how long it'll stay in court and they won't have enough time nor a big enough judicial system to take all the cases. And that's right. There's no law but the law of public opinion. A law can be passed, but if public opinion is against it, it cannot be enforced. Consequently, when the public opinion becomes anarchy, then you have nothing but anarchy. The one law, each man is intellectual, each man does what's right in his own eyes. Let's take a few things. Let's suppose that Ray Newton's up there, he's the United Airlines pilot. Let's suppose that the United Airlines operated the same way. Suppose that Ray gets up and he's just flying the airplane, got 25,000 feet in the air, and some nut says, this is a free world. I don't like the way you're doing it. I don't agree with you. Maybe you don't, but you better let Ray take care of it. And maybe you don't agree with all I do, but you better let me take care of it. Because so happens, I happen to be at the stick. You see? Now, we have got to come to the place in America to where we will accept the leadership of wise men who are at the helm and at the steering wheel and trust them and not each of us think we know what to do better. Now, that's the problem. Suppose I go down to the barbershop. I don't like the way you operate. I don't have to, but I think he's the expert and I trust him. I go to the doctor. I don't like the way he operates, but I think he's the expert. I trust him. I go to the dentist. He says, open your mouth. I said, I think I can open my ear. Put it closer that way. And he says, well, I'm the dentist. Well, I know, but I just don't see it that way. You see, we have taken, we don't have any leaders, many leaders for one thing, we have no leaders. We have too many chiefs, not enough Indians. We have a bunch of leaders, followers trying to lead, a bunch of people who are not experts trying to run every organization under the sun. The biggest churches in this world are the churches that have a man that stands up and says, I know what I'm doing. Now, you trust me. Now, the one world law is what we're facing. As I said a few Sunday nights ago, there's only one answer for it. Only one answer for it. The only way that a country can come out of a tailspin of anarchy when it's gone as far as we can go is dictatorship. That's the only way. Dictatorship. You ever wonder why we don't just clean up the corruption in the air? Do you ever wonder why? Everybody's talking about pollution, 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 pollution. Do you ever wonder why we don't turn it off? Nobody has the authority. How do you do it? The president, he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't have the authority. How are you going to do it? Listen. There's not a human being in this nation that has enough authority to solve the pollution problem. Now, if they'd just make me the king, I'd solve it with one edict. I'd just say, turn them off. You say confusion and prevail. But wouldn't it be nice to have a little confused breath for a while. But nobody can get to it.
You know why the syndicate runs wild?
Nobody can get to it. Nobody has any authority.
You know how the Black Panthers run wild?
Nobody has any authority. I was out of California the other day. By the way, we've got the Lord's Supper at 10:30. I was out of California the other day. And the hippies decided to take over Disneyland. And the folks that ran Disneyland said, you're not going to do it. And they called out enough people to keep them from it, and they made a rule that hippies couldn't even come inside Disneyland. Now, what do we need? We need some authority. Every man does that's right in his own eyes. If every church in America would take the stand this church has taken about authority and respect for law and order, it'd solve a lot of our problems. If every school in this area would take the same stand, it'd solve a lot of our problems. You take a kid. Take a kid. Let's see. How old are you, son? 11? You take a... Well, let's see. He's a little bit old. Of course, I believe I can handle him at 11, but... see. How old is your boy there asleep? He's 5. You take a boy that age, and you handle him right, and he won't grow up and be an anarchist. He just won't do it. See? Oh, a lot of things I'd like to say. A lot of things I'm going to say. But, you see, we face tonight, here's an organization over here called the Woman's Liberation Movement. And way over here, here's one called the Black Panthers. And way over here, here's one called the SDS. And way over here is one called the Group for Free Sex. And we say, isn't it a confused mess? No, it's not a confused mess. It's an organized plan, connived in the pit of hell, and organized up and down this country and around the world to have one world religion, one sex, one race, one government, one language, one law. Now, what can you do about it? First thing, get out of the churches. You say, how do you go about it? Well, you might try opening the doorknob and walking out. Well, how do you do it? I just don't open it and walk back in. Because I want to stay in and clean it up. What kind of luck you've been having? Huh? How long you been in? Oh, all my life. Is it getting cleaner? You are commanded by God to get out, get out, get out. Every born-again person in Lake County, Indiana, every born-again person in this state, every born-again person in Chicago, every born-again person in America, belonging to some national council, world council, one church crowd, well, get out of it. Join some old-fashioned Bible-preaching church. You'd be surprised the influence we could have in this nation.